I grew up hanging out with my cousin Jason, and from the time Jason was pretty little, he had this dream about moving to Hollywood to get into acting. And when he got into his teens, he did just that. His dad was already out there, and he connected with his dad, and he started getting into acting. He never made it big. He was in some TV shows as an extra, some B-movies, you know, like, hey, there's his elbow, there's his ankle. I mean, you didn't really see much of him, but, you know, I talked to him after a while, and I said, hey, Jason, what's it like to be a part of a movie or a TV show in Hollywood? He goes, you know, the saying that you hear all the time, hurry up and wait, is totally true with Hollywood. He says, you learn your lines, you get dressed, you show up, you find your place, and you sit, and you wait, and wait, and wait, and wait, and wait, and then finally, action. You know, life is a lot like that. Life is full of waiting. One of the hardest things that we have to do as people is wait. You ever think about that? And you're in school and you're waiting to finish. Maybe you've been single and you've been waiting for a long time because you long to be married. Maybe you're working at getting physically fit and you're still waiting and waiting for the results. You're lonely and you're waiting for some close relationships. You've been sick for so long, you don't even remember what it's like to be healthy. And you're waiting and waiting. You're confused. You're waiting for clarity. Your heart is broken. You're weary and you're discouraged. And you've been waiting a long time for that to lift. Life is filled with waiting and it's hard. The title of today's message is Wait for the Lord. And I picked this passage because this is a passage God has been using to minister to me in an extended season I've been in of waiting. Here's the main thing I want you to cling to today from today's passage. Here's the main thing. If I wait on God, I will renew my strength. Listen, if I wait on God, I will renew my strength. Look in your Bibles at verse 28, chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Look in that passage, the third sentence. Notice how it says, the Lord. You see, Lord is in all caps because it's referring to the covenant name that God revealed to Moses, Yahweh. Many people are familiar with the name Jehovah for God, but Yahweh is the more accurate transliteration. This, amongst many other things, reveals that God is a personal God. You see, when God revealed his name, Yahweh, to Moses, to the people of Israel, to us today, he's revealing that he is a personal God. This points out the fact that God desires a personal, intimate relationship with his people. God didn't create you to merely exist. Listen, this is the most important thing about life. This is the most important thing for you. He created you to know him personally. That's why he says, I'm Yahweh. Notice what else it says. The Lord is the everlasting God. Everlasting God means that there was never a time when God did not exist. He's not dependent on anything for his existence. God doesn't derive energy from anything outside of himself. I mean, if you look at a car, cars need gas. If you look at a plant, plants need water. If you look at an appliance, appliances need electricity. People, we need food. God needs nothing. He is filled with endless, eternal life. It bubbles up, it wells up within him. It is constantly, eternally produced without any effort whatsoever. Listen, God is the everlasting God. Look at the Bible. It says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Charles Spurgeon said, with God there are no years to make him decline with age, no labors to tax his powers. With God our lives are but as the swing of the pendulum. 1,000 years in his sight are passed away as the watch in the night. Millions of ages are nothing to him. And now listen, he was God when as yet this sun and moon and all these stars slept in his thought like unborn forests in an acorn cup. God is the creator. Here's a little poetic line God gave me years ago one day as I was praying. When you go outside, maybe you could remember this, and this will direct your heart toward God, our creator. The very mind of God, which I cannot see, is on display all around me. You ever think about this? Every single day when you wake up and you go outside, you have the opportunity to witness with your eyes the very things God has formed and is forming. The problem is we forget that this is actually what God has created and what he is creating. Every day when you wake up, you can go out and you can look at the grass. God created that. You can look at the trees, the birds, squirrels, rabbits. Listen, you can look at groundhogs if you see one. Now, I get a kick out of groundhogs. I think I got some pictures of groundhogs up there. We used to have a groundhog, maybe not. Okay, oh, there we go. Okay. We used to have a groundhog living under our shed. I just get a kick out of these things. You know, God makes all these little crazy creatures. He's the creator. And what's the most majestic, glorious thing God created? Humans. The very climax of his creativity. That's us. He's the creator. Now, why does all of this matter when it comes to waiting? Why does this matter? Here's why. It's because of who God is. Look at verse 28 again. Look. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Now listen. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. What's the truth? The truth is, the healthiest, the youngest, the strongest, the most intelligent among us can't help but grow weary and burdened and exhausted in the sin-cursed world that we all exist in every day. Now, I want you to notice what verse 31 says, though. Look at verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the Hebrew word for renew can also be translated. It has the literal meaning, renew has the literal meaning of change or exchange. When you wait for the Lord, you change or you exchange the strength that you have. When you wait for the Lord, it's like when you're wearing some clothing, some old clothes, and you exchange them for some new clothes. Waiting for the Lord is like when you're weary and tired and you're waiting on God and you exchange your weakness, your weariness, your discouragement for His strength. That's what this verse is telling you. Now, you know, if waiting for the Lord renews your strength, you have to be clear on what it means. You know, what does it exactly mean to wait for the Lord? Let me give you a definition. Waiting for the Lord, continuing to trust God to care for me while I'm in a state of uncertainty. Does that ring true to anyone? I think it rings true to all of us. We all know what that's like if we've been following Jesus. Continuing to trust God to care for me while I'm in a state of uncertainty. You can also translate that word that says waiting. It can be translated as hope. In fact, that's what the NIV does. They who hope for the Lord. You know, here's the thing. I don't know what's going to happen next month. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's even going to happen this afternoon. My situation right now looks bleak. I'm weary. I'm struggling. This is hard. But I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to put my hope in God to take care of me where I'm at right now, even though I don't understand how it's all going to turn out. Regardless, I'm trusting God is going to take care of me. Now listen, practically speaking, waiting for God, this is critical, waiting for God means that I choose to do things God's way instead of my way, even when my way in the moment seems to make more sense. That's the rub there, isn't it? Choosing to do things God's way instead of my way, even when my way in the moment seems to bring about greater blessing and benefits. When you wait for the Lord, you live and breathe Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Waiting for the Lord is that period of time when you're doing things God's way, but you're not seeing the good results that you're longing for. I wonder how many are here this morning. I'm doing things God's way. I'm not seeing the results, but I'm going to continue to wait on Him. That's waiting for the Lord. Let me give you some examples of waiting on the Lord. I want to get married. Say, I'm single. I want to get married. And God's not showing me the right wife or the right husband. I'm not finding the godly partner that I know that God calls me to. So instead of jumping the gun and getting connected with someone who doesn't have the spiritual maturity or who's not even a believer, I continue to wait for God to provide the right person for me. Or here's another one, waiting for the Lord. I did something foolish. The Bible says we all sin in many ways. We hate that we do this, but the truth is we do foolish things. And I got a choice. I can either fess up to what I've done, or I can lie about it, try to cover it up. But if I'm going to wait on the Lord, I'm going to confess to what I did. I'm going to acknowledge where I sinned, and I'm not even going to count the cost of the consequences because I know that I've done wrong, and I know that I need to make it right. And I'm going to wait on God to bless me for my obedience, regardless of what the immediate consequences are for fessing up to what I've done. I have a difficult person in my life, and my inclination is to avoid them or talk badly about them. But I know that the Bible tells me that I'm to love all people, even my enemies. And so because I'm going to wait on the Lord, I'm going to continue to love this person with the wisdom that God provides me in the scriptures, and I'm going to trust him to bring about the good results that he promises in that process. Here's another one. I sense God is calling me to step up in ministry. Maybe God is calling you to serve in a way that you feel really uncomfortable about, but you feel this tugging in your heart. Maybe God is calling you to finally get engaged because you've been on the sidelines. Maybe God is calling you to give a generous gift to the church or to some other group for his purposes. Maybe God's calling you to plant a church or to start a new work, whatever it is. Waiting on the Lord means, even though I'm uncomfortable, even though I'm uneasy, and I don't know how this is all going to turn out, I believe God is leading me in this direction. So I'm going to take action. Remember this, waiting for the Lord doesn't mean sitting in your basement in the lotus position. You know, waiting on the Lord means I take action doing the things God calls me to do while I keep hoping in him. And I hope in him to use me and to bring about the good things he promises as I obey him. Here's one. I've been battling with temptation. You should have seen how much I battled just yesterday. I've been battling, I've been struggling, and I've been resisting this temptation for 2 days. And I'll tell you something, this monkey on my back, this dog at my heels is nipping, 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 and it won't get off. And I want to give in so badly. And I know that if I give in, I won't feel that pressure that I'm under. Not only every day, but every moment. When I wait on the Lord, I continue to hope in God, even though the temptation feels oppressive. I trust God. I take to take care of me that this is going to lift as I continue to trust him. Now listen, God promises in these situations and thousands of other situations that when you wait on him, your strength is going to be renewed. Listen, this is what he says. If you wait on him, he will renew your strength. This is a promise. He is going to do it, but you have to wait on him. You got to see that. He will do it. You got to believe that. That's the rub. Will you believe that? Because if you believe that, your strength is going to be renewed. Now, this strength isn't referring to physical strength being renewed. It's talking about spiritual strength being renewed. What does it mean to have your spiritual strength renewed? When God gives you spiritual strength, he's giving you the supernatural ability to think clearly about God, who he is, what he can do, to think clearly about yourself, the people around you, the circumstances that God has sovereignly placed you in and is working together for your good. Your problems are still there. But when your strength is renewed, they don't seem so big anymore. They got a lot smaller. They're more off at the distance. You don't know how long they're going to last. You don't know how it's going to turn out. But when God renews your strength, you're going to keep going regardless of how long it takes. That's what it looks like to have your strength renewed, because you have a God-centered perspective on all of reality. Your eyes are off you, off the world, and onto the Creator of all things. Now, what's the opposite of waiting for the Lord? Taking things into my own hands. Biting the forbidden fruit of short-term relief. I do what seems easiest in the moment, but later on, it actually makes things much harder. We know this. We know this. And yet, we keep doing it. Who's the classic example in the Bible of taking matters into their own hands? Abraham and Sarah. God promised them that he was going to provide a child for Sarah, even though she'd been barren her whole life. And they waited. And they waited. They waited for the Lord. You know how long they waited? They waited 10 years. And then you know what they said? God, that's long enough. How many have said that? God, I've waited, and that's long enough. And so they roll up their sleeves and they said, we're going to take matters into our own hands. Abraham and Sarah got together and said, you know, there's this Egyptian servant with us named Hagar. Abraham went and slept with Hagar. Got her pregnant. She gave birth to a child named Ishmael. Ishmael is born, and one problem after another arises. To the point that it got so bad that Hagar and Ishmael had to leave everybody. You might not be aware of this, but Islam traces its ancestry back, not to Isaac, but to Ishmael. Now, God eventually provided a child. Sarah got pregnant. They named the child Isaac. But they could have saved themselves a lot of heartache if they would have waited for the Lord and not said, that's it, God. We're done. Listen, the key to waiting for the Lord is I don't wait until I've decided I've waited long enough. You got to get this. I don't wait until I've decided I've waited long enough. I wait until God has decided I've waited long enough. That's what this passage is talking about. That's what it means to wait for the Lord. If I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to wait as long as God wants me to wait, period. Because he knows best, not me. Now, is this hard to wait for the Lord? You better believe it's hard. I'm going to tell you, I'm a pastor. I spend a ton of time in the Bible and in ministry activities, and it's hard. Waiting on the Lord is hard for everybody. It's hard. Why? Why is it so hard? Because in my sin, I'm impatient. Have you ever thought about this? My sin nature inclines me to want what I want now. Sin always inclines me to think short term instead of long term. Always. That's the way sin operates in your life. It promises you a short term pleasure that's going to lead to long term pain. Sin leads me to think about me and my ways. Sin leads me to think that everything in life is about me being as comfortable as possible. That is the highest priority today. Listen though, but when you wait, hoping in the Lord and thinking long term, notice what you're going to be like. Look in your Bibles. Let's start at the beginning again. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Look, though. Notice what you're going to be like when you wait for the Lord. Verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Hebrew word for mount up has the meaning of go up, ascend, be lifted up, take up. When you wait for the Lord, you give this, you're given this supernatural strength that allows you to emotionally rise above your circumstances. You see, it's one thing to think, well, I should be able to get above my circumstances, but we all know that there's not always a good connection between our head and our heart. This is talking about the emotional capability to rise above your circumstances. Now, the NIV translates this, they will soar on wings like eagles. The New Living Translation, they will soar high on wings like eagles. You know, eagles are one of God's most majestic creatures he's made. That's why an eagle is the symbol for so many things. We're captivated by these creatures. If you've ever seen an eagle in real life, I guarantee you, you stopped and you looked, because that is a work of majesty from God. An eagle has a wingspan of 7 to 8 feet. These birds can fly 65 miles an hour, and they can swoop down for their prey at speeds of 200 miles an hour. Now, eagles have this fascinating ability to soar. And this ability for an eagle to soar is related to what's referred to as thermals. What are thermals? Thermals are upward winds that are created when the sun heats the earth, and the heat from the earth rises and it creates this upward wind of heat. A good picture of this is a hot air balloon. You ever see a hot air balloon? Got this big balloon, and what do they put right in the middle of it? They got this fire, and they torch it up, and what happens to that balloon? All of a sudden, it starts shooting this hot air, and the balloon fills up, and before you know it, it's upright, and before you know it, there's people inside, and it's floating higher and higher and higher for one reason. There's no engines. It's just heat, hot air blowing upward, lifting it up. Now, God designed eagles in such a way that they know, this is pretty cool, they know how to find these thermals. An eagle will wait, perched sometimes for days and days, waiting for just the right thermal. And when he finds the right thermal, he catches it, and the thermal actually lifts the eagle up higher and higher and higher. The eagles actually can get lifted up to distances of 3 miles high in the sky. That's higher than most clouds. And now when they're on the thermal, the eagle begins to soar. barely flapping his wings at all. You have to understand, because of the thermal, the eagle is able to go higher than he ever could have gone by flapping, and he's able to go far longer than he ever could have gone by flapping. In the same way, brothers and sisters, you need to learn to stop flapping your wings and wait perched for the Lord. Wait for the Lord to bring the power of His Holy Spirit. Because God is going to send the Holy Spirit. The Bible promises you this. This is a promise. If you will wait for the Lord, the Spirit of God is going to come and He is going to lift you up above your circumstances. You will have an emotional capability to be strong and to think clearly and then to press on and go further and further and further and further and further and further. And you say, I can't believe how far I've gone. And then God will show you, oh, you're going to go a lot further. Because you're not flapping your wings. You're waiting on me. And I'm the everlasting God. I don't grow weary. I don't faint. Infinite energy wells up within me, and I'm giving that to you as you wait on me. And if you wait on the Lord, you're going to be able to run and not be weary. The emergencies of life are not going to overtake you. This verse says that you're going to be able to walk and not faint. The day-to-day grind is not going to discourage you. Now you say, why can I do all this? Why is it possible that I could do all this? Here's why. Because Jesus Christ waited on God the Father. Jesus Christ came and He waited 33 years, humbled before us, waiting to fulfill His purposes. He waited daily on God the Father. He waited. Listen, Jesus waited even when His friends all betrayed Him. He still waited on God. He didn't take matters into His own hands. He waited on God even when the authorities came against Him unjustly. He didn't deserve it, but He waited on the Lord. He did not take matters into His own hands. Jesus waited on the Lord when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and in so much agony, the Bible says He was sweating drops of blood. He waited. He waited when His disciples abandoned Him. Listen, He waited when God the Father abandoned Him on the cross. You remember Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But He still waited for the Lord. And in that process, the penalty for all of your sin was being poured out on Him. The wrath of God was being directed toward Him so that it would not have to be directed towards you. Jesus was paying for all of your sins so that you could be forgiven of your past, present, and future sins, so that you could get freed from your separation from God and you could be reconciled to God, Yahweh, and have an intimate relationship with Him. And Jesus was raised again from the dead on the third day because He waited. He waited. He came back to life so that He could give you new life, so that He could give you eternal life. Because He did all of this, listen, because Jesus waited on God, you can wait on God. That's why. That is the very foundation. You say, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Get your eyes off you. Get your eyes off your past failures here. Get your eyes off your circumstances here. And instead, get your eyes on the one who already did it for you. That's the gospel. Connect what you're supposed to do with what he's already done for you. And wait, and wait, and wait. And God will continue to lift you higher and take you further and bring you closer to heaven. Heaven is coming, brothers and sisters. Jesus has purchased eternal life for you. It is just around the corner, and you are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's your future. That's your ultimate hope. And that's why, no matter what, you know it's going to get better. Better than you could ever imagine. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heaven's going to be so good. Listen, listen. If I wait on the Lord, I will renew my strength. Let's pray.